Beautiful day, beautiful singing. What an honor and blessing it is to be here this morning. As we gather together before our God, we're truly, truly blessed. And we're thankful again for the visitors among us. We're grateful that you're here. And it's a blessing. We consider it a blessing that you made that decision to join us. And I pray that we are an encouragement and a blessing to you. Just a couple things before we get into the lesson. Again, want to thank everyone for all the work that was done, community giveaway. I just love it, especially the part of watching all the brethren get together and just work diligently and accomplish a task. And God was honored in that, and a lot of good came from that, but especially that fellowship. I really appreciate that, just the time together, and so I'm thankful for all your help in that, and I know a lot of good was done. All right, now, there are flyers in the foyer. I know Brother Ronnie mentioned it. This is for our summer series, and make sure you grab some of those, give them to your friends, family, neighbors, give it to the cashier over at Walmart. Right, invite people to this. It'll be on Thursdays, of course. But take a look at this. Determine in your mind that you're going to be there. Thursdays at 7, so you make plans right now that you're going to be a part of that and honor God with your presence and encourage the brethren with your presence. And I think that's very, very important. And you will not regret coming and gathering with the church for the summer series. Many years ago, when I was in the Marine Corps, at Camp Johnson, which is right next to Camp Lejeune, I was a young private. And one thing most of you probably know, even if you're never in the Marine Corps, is the Marine Corps loves marching. And you do it right. Right? Make a big deal about marching properly. Everywhere, all the time. As a matter of fact, if you were on base and you're walking with just one more Marine with you, you had to walk in step. Just two of you. Now, if there's three of you, you had to walk in step. You'd have two in the front, one in the back on the right. But if there's four of you, you had to have one calling cadence, and then you get in line the other three. Now, I don't care if you were just going to another building a half a block away. You had to do that. And so one day we were going, I can't remember, point A to point B, and there might have been 8, 9, 10, 11, however many of us, and we had, it's usually the highest rank, you had to call cadence, and the rest of us were in line, and we were what you would call bebopping down the road, not really doing it properly. Well, on Camp Johnson, there was a lot of naval personnel because they trained corpsmen there. And that was part of what I did, training corpsmen and second lieutenants, infantry stuff. And so there we are, bebopping down the road, and then there's a high-ranking chief petty officer, high-ranking enlisted naval personnel, and he saw us. And he yelled, "Hey, Marine, stop!" Of course, we were all just basically privates, private first class. You fear everybody. So he called us to halt, and so this chief petty officer came over and began to berate us for not marching properly. You know, kind of offensive. If you had a sailor getting on to us Marines on how to march, you know, terrible. But then he said this, and I've always remembered it. He said, "Don't you know when you march like Marines that sailors want to be Marines?" And he was right. Right? And as obnoxious as that was, him telling us that, you know what? We marched a whole lot better after he said what he said. Right? We kind of, you know, that's right. We're Marines. You know, you kind of stand up a little taller and puff your chest out, and you do it properly. Listen, when we live out the grace of God in our lives, marching like Marines, if you will, spiritually speaking, those on the outside want what we have. Right, so we're talking about being vessels of honor, but I also want to talk about this morning being vessels of grace. Let us understand what God's grace is, and when we can gather what it is that God wants us to know concerning grace, we're going to draw people to Jesus. If you would, bow with me in prayer, please. Our kind and loving, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being a gracious Father and for loving us and extending your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness to us. We thank you, Father. Help us, Father, to see that grace, to allow it to fill our lives so that we can be vessels of grace and share that grace with the lost and dying world around us. We thank you for Jesus who makes it all possible. And we pray these things in his holy name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. So let's talk about grace this morning. And I want to begin with a statement here, and bear with me as you open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. People don't go to heaven because they're obedient. Rather, they go to heaven because God is gracious and sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And that statement in no way undermines the importance and necessity of obedience, but it makes the point that God saves us. Look at verse 9, 2 Timothy 1. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. And the fact is, it seems there are many people that are rather uncomfortable with that concept. So let's address that question this morning. Are we saved by grace or not? All right, let's do that in a question and answer format this morning. And some of the things that we're going to talk about, some of the questions that we're going to answer is things like this. You're going to see on the screen here, right? Why being a good person isn't enough to receive grace. And some people think that, you know, I drive the speed limit, I wear my seatbelt, I pay my taxes, I haven't robbed any banks. I'm a good person, you know, and on that day of judgment, God's just going to have to let me in. Is that type of thinking right? Is it true? Right? Why, we're going to also ask and answer why faith is more than just believing something. And we're going to talk about why God is the one who's in charge of deciding who receives grace. Right? Or his standards in giving that grace. We're going to think about that. We're going to talk about also what the gospel is and concerning the critical nature of understanding that and how that is the means of obtaining grace. And so we're going to look at several different things here in that question answer format. And you know, it's my hope and my prayer that this lesson will motivate us to walk in grace, right, and encourage lost souls to receive God's gracious gift of salvation in Jesus. All right, so number one, our first question, what does by grace mean? What does that even mean? And if you would, I want you to open your Bibles, Romans 6, but I'm going to read a passage here from the book of Jude as you're doing that. You know, there's a lot of confusion over grace, right? What it is, what it isn't. We know there's a lot of folks that abuse the word, abuse that teaching. Right, acting as if, you know, grace is a license to sin or the freedom from obedience. So in Jude, verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6, you know, you've got folks that don't understand God's grace. And I want you to listen carefully to Scripture here as we read this. Romans 6, let's read verses 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? So there's information here that the brethren need to know or ought to know. That as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also shall walk in newness of life. But you need to keep reading. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, again, information to know, that our old man was crucified with him, right, through baptism, that the body of sin might be done away with, through baptism, with that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. And so you have that, but also on the other hand, we need to be honest. There are Christians who seem only to talk about what grace is not. Right? You start talking about grace, they seldom ever want to talk about what grace is. Right? They get very nervous when they hear that phrase, saved by grace. Right? And they're quick to say, yeah, but not really, in a sense. Right? And they rush to dilute the teachings of grace, right, for fear that someone might take it too far. Right? Just so you know, when you hear the words by grace, not only is that biblical, but basically it just means something that good was given that wasn't earned. Right? It wasn't merited. And so when you receive something good, it was either by grace or merit. It's got to be one of the two. It's by grace or by merit. Right? Or as the apostle says in Romans 4 and verse 4, right? It's either a wage or it's a gift, right? And it's that simple, no middle ground. Right? And you know, or think about it this way. The air that we breathe right now, was that earned or was it a gift? This very next breath that you're going to take, I want you to think about it. You know, could you possibly do something to earn that breath that you just took? Right? I think it's laughable to say that, oh yeah, I earned that breath. Right? Listen, everything is a gracious gift. The only thing that we've earned, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, is death. The wages of sin is death. That's the only thing we've earned. So whether we're talking about salvation or the very next breath that you take, that's a gift from God. He doesn't have to give you your next breath, but he gives it to you. And so that's the understanding here that I think we should take from all of this. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Our scripture reading earlier, Ephesians chapter 2. And we're not going to read it all again, but I want to remind you of a couple of highlights in our scripture reading a moment ago. Listen, it's absolutely, I think, impossible to take grace too far. Now bear with me. Perverted, yes. But take it too far, absolutely not. In fact, God desires to show us, look at verse 7, Ephesians 2, the immeasurable riches of his grace. Salvation by grace, right? And so the most significant, issue when we're talking about this, when we're talking about grace, we're talking about salvation here, is for us that, you know, is it earned or is it free? Right? Is it a free gift or did you somehow merit it? It's got to be one or the other. And of course, Scripture makes it very clear that it's a free gift. You can do nothing to earn salvation, to earn the grace of God. You just can't do it. In fact, you had folks in the first century, Paul talks about this in Galatians 5, who thought they earned it by obedience to the law. But in a sense, they disqualified themselves thinking that that was the case. So it's either we receive salvation as a gift of God, or somehow we deserve it or we earn it. One or the other. And that doesn't make any sense. And of course, what we had earlier in our scripture reading, let's just read a couple verses of that again here. Right? God is rich in his mercy because of his great love. Verse 4, he's made us alive together with Christ. Remember, he's talking to Christians here. Ephesians was written to Christians, those who've already obeyed the gospel. And so he's explaining some things here, and it's a book of compliance. You want to be compliant to Christ? Let's talk about it. That's what Ephesians is about. So in this, he's saying, remember, grace is a free gift of God that you access how? He says, through faith in verse 8. And so when a person is saying by grace, you're saved by grace, and if they're saying it scripturally, all they mean is that we absolutely deserve punishment, but God, through his great love, his great kindness toward us, is offering us grace that's obtained through faith. And that's what God's word says. And so we're not going to add to that, and we're not going to take away from it. Question number two this morning. How do we receive this gift? Right? I just mentioned it a moment ago. Biblical answer is through faith. Go back to Acts, the second chapter. Right? And so the word grace is probably one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible beside the word faith. You're never going to understand faith if you don't understand grace. You're not going to understand grace if you don't understand faith. Faith, in other words, a good way to remember the word faith is it's completely, absolutely trusting God. And therefore you obey him. Right? It's trust and obedience coming together. Romans chapter 4, the example like Abraham. Right? They go hand in hand. Trust and obedience, that's faith. You know, when we are obedient to the gospel, we have access to that faith like these folks here in Acts chapter 2. Right? Repenting and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, verse 38. That's when we call upon the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16, right? Ananias with Paul. Why are you waiting, Paul? And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, call it on the name of the Lord. That's obedience to receive grace. And all the other examples that we have. Right, 1 Peter 3:21, that's that clear conscience toward God after Peter says baptism saves you. It's an appeal to God for a good conscience. Or in Galatians 3:27, that where it says we're clothing ourselves with Christ in baptism, and then we get to be a seed of Abraham, and we receive that grace. And we could go on and on, and all that means is our obedience concerning our trusting God, right? And listen, grace is an absolutely free gift of God. We obey because we're willing to trust God to save us. And when we submit to the gospel in our death, burial, resurrection, water, baptism, Romans 6, 3, and 4, right, that's where we access the grace of God. That's where we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1, 11 through 13. We've accessed the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. That's where it all happens. Listen, obedience is a matter of entrusting our souls to a faithful Creator, 1 Peter 4:19. And disobedience, on the other hand, is how you reject the gift. It's a free gift from God. It's available if you're willing to take it. But listen, you can absolutely reject it. As a matter of fact, our world is filled with individuals that are constantly rejecting the grace of God. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, let me read this. We'll move on to our next point here. If you would, Hebrews chapter 10. Listen, the gracious gift of salvation, it's either accepted by humble obedience or at any point rejected by stubborn and hard hearts. You know, sinful pride. Hebrews 10, 26 to 29. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Those are serious words there and a serious warning. Listen, with all of that being true, We must explain how and why God provides his grace. It's that important. And we need to understand how we receive it and maintain that grace. Because you can receive grace, like we just read, and then turn around and trample it underfoot as if it's nothing. And insult the spirit of grace. You know, that's a choice also people have. You know, we need to understand it ourselves to then also turn around and teach it to those who have not received grace, who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Right? They need to know what grace is, why they need it, and how to get it. So before we can do that, we need to understand those things. So that brings us to our third of five questions this morning. How do I receive God's grace in vain? I think that's something very important we need to talk about and think about here quickly. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. And again, perhaps no subject in the Bible is more misunderstood than that of grace. And it reads, "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." You know, I think many people entertain the idea that grace is some type of a divine blanket that is just thrown out unconditionally to cover whatever sin we might want to participate in. And I think that's a serious misconception. I think it's dangerous. Grace has to deal with that undeserved extension of God's favor upon the sinner. Right? No one can earn it, but it must be accepted by man. It's a gift. Just like if someone gives you a gift, you need to accept that gift. You can reject the gift. And so Paul implores that men receive not the grace of God in vain. And so here a couple things to think about before we move on. Listen, it's clear that the grace must be received, the grace that's offered. Right? In Titus 2:11, we're going to read in just a moment here, but not all are going to receive it. It's offered to everybody, to all men, but not everyone's going to receive it. They don't like the terms of that grace. But also the grace has to be retained, right? As a result, we have that warning here. 2 Corinthians 6:1, Romans 6:1, 1 Corinthians 15:2, other places say, listen, don't take the grace of God in vain. Understand what a wonderful, powerful gift it is, but don't receive it in vain as if you can just deal with it however you want to deal with it, that you can go on sinning, live however you want to live, and God's grace is just going to cover everything. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Question number 4, what is the realm of grace? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I want to read two verses there in that chapter, but I want to read a quote here, and I love the way Wayne Jackson writes this. He writes, quote, "Some sincere folks entertain the notion that divine grace is somehow unconditionally diffused into the religious atmosphere, descending upon those whom the Creator has randomly chosen. Others feel that grace is bestowed simply on the basis of trust in the Lord." Right? And it all comes from a misunderstanding of passages like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where it says, by grace you've been saved. Leaving out the next phrase, through faith. And then you add to that a misunderstanding of the word faith, right? They think faith is just a passing thought through the mind and not doing anything about it. Linda Winkler said this on the subject, quote, "Neither of these views has the support of Scripture. While it certainly is true that grace is a thrilling element in the divine scheme of things, it is not true that it is unconditionally dispensed or that it is obtained merely by believing." So 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1 here. So Paul writes, "My child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In verse 1, now watch the logic. Are you with me? "One is saved by grace, but grace is available in Christ. Therefore, salvation is in Christ," right? And that's a truth that's confirmed a little bit further down, Right, keep going down, nine verses later, verse 10, look at it with me. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so the logical question becomes this. How does one get into Christ? Because that's where the grace is. Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And grace is absolutely a spiritual blessing. So grace is in Christ. And you go through that scripture. I mentioned a few verses. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. 1 Peter 3:21, Colossians 2:12, Galatians 3:27, right? When we obey the gospel, Romans 6:3 and 4, when we die to self as we're reenacting his death, burial, resurrection in water, we come into contact with the blood, the grace of Christ. That is the realm of grace. Question number 5, our last question to consider this morning here. I want us to think about the true nature, the true meaning of grace. The concept of grace, the more you meditate on it, think about it, and understand it, the more it's just thrilling. That me, a filthy sinner, one who struggles and falls short daily, I have access to the grace of the Almighty Creator of the universe. And it's a free gift. I think something that is helpful is to take a moment, and I think we can understand grace a little more if we hold it against the backdrop of God's wrath. Because then it really shines. Just a technical thing here I think is helpful. The wrath of God, the most common used word in the original language in the Greek, is orge. And you see this about 36 times in the New Testament. And I think one of the most important places, like right here in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And we have thymos, which is the idea of boiling anger. Now here's where I think we need to make sure that we don't apply the definition of God's wrath based on what we as humans think. Right? When we think about a man, you know, when we're enraged in wrath, we think that we think of in sense of, you know, an emotional response, right? An impulsive reaction, right? That's not the wrath of God that we read about. It's not impulsive. It's not emotional. Rather, it's carrying the idea of deliberate and measured reaction of a perfect, majestic being toward the destructive nature of sin. Right? His response is entirely consistent with the response of a righteous, loving God. So we need to think about it in those terms. And so grace divine, the Greek word, charis, before the time of Jesus, you know, even Homer, if you've heard of him, and that ancient Greek there, it also carried the idea of sweetness or even to rejoice. By the time of the New Testament, it had kind of matured to the idea of favor and goodwill and loving kindness, and it's used 156 times in your New Testament. And then it takes on a special redemptive sense in which God makes makes available his favor to sinners, to those us who don't deserve it. And the more and more I think that we meditate on the beautiful nature of grace, just how great and majestic and mighty our Creator is, and how small and weak and sinful we are, but yet we have access to that. You want to talk about marching like a Marine, so sailors want to be Marines, right? So when we understand that grace, and we actually start living that out in our lives, let me tell you, those on the outside, when they see that, they're going to want that. We're going to be vessels of honor and vessels of grace. Now, as we begin to wind down here, I want to consider quickly just some, I think, some very important truths associated with grace and the concept of salvation by grace. Titus, the second chapter. Listen, grace is for everybody. Right? So I don't want you to think, well, yeah, maybe for everyone, but me, no, I messed up too much. I'll just never be good enough. I'm not worthy. Listen, that's exactly why God offers his grace, because you're not worthy, because you'll never be good enough. And he knows that and he loves you. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation to all men. Right? And of course, this isn't saying that everybody's going to be saved, but it's potential that he's talking about. If you're willing to trust God, if you're willing to be obedient to God, that grace is available to you regardless who you are, regardless of your background, regardless of your station in life or the color of your skin. Everybody has access to this grace through trust and obedience. Also, I think it's important to note that grace and knowledge, they're connected. Right? There's a body of information, revelation, scripture, that tells us how to obtain grace. God's not just going to any, meeny, miny, moe and zap you with grace and not somebody else. I was having a good conversation before service this morning about that. Remember, God is not partial, Romans 2:11. So God has given us a body of information, Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing, to hear by the word of God, Ephesians 1:3. So he gives us information to learn about, to study, to be taught, to be preached, to read, so that we can trust him and obey him to receive that grace. I want you to think about next here, grace. And think about this, is it conditional? Well, the biblical answer is yes. You can reject it if you want. Grace, again, is not bestowed unconditionally by the sovereign will of God. The Bible absolutely negates this. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, remember Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And back in Genesis 6 and verse 8, yet the Hebrews writer shows that Abraham and his family were saved by preparing the ark in obedience to God's instruction. Back in Genesis 6:22. So God offered the grace to Noah and his family. They're saved by grace. And so he was blessed. But Noah still had to do something. Call it a work if you want, but he had to do something. He had to prepare the ark. Noah took action concerning his faith, his belief system. Grace is not earned, right? Grace excludes merit. Again, listen, there's absolutely nothing you could do to earn God's grace. In Matthew 18, in the parable of the unforgiving servant, listen, the point is very clear. The one servant who owed the 10,000 talents was literally representing an amount that couldn't possibly be paid back in many, 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 many lifetimes. That represents you and I. You do not deserve salvation. You cannot earn salvation. But that forgiveness is being offered to you. And so let's finish up here this morning. We'll offer the Lord's invitation. You know, and in many ways, the invitation was offered throughout this lesson. Listen, the writers of the Bible confirm that grace is accessed by faith. Right? And in fact, there in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the apostle again states, saved by grace through faith. In the same letter, chapter 5, verse 26, talks about the being cleansed by the washing of the water by the word. An absolute illusion of baptism. In Titus chapter 3, verses 5, 7, to express matter another way, Christ saves us through the washing of regeneration. In reference to baptism and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, right? And this is equivalent to saying justified by his grace. So obedience and grace, they do not stand in opposition to one another. Rather, they go hand in hand. You know, when this concept of grace is truly grasped, right, service to God, we'll be refreshed in that, I think. We'll have a newness and a zeal, this new desire to serve God properly. And I think many times that's why the faith of Christians and even congregations is stagnant, spiritually lethargic. Stuck, just maybe feel like we're just going through the motions. It's because we don't understand the grace of God. And again, when we march like Marines, sailors want to be Marines. When we live out the grace of God in our lives with the right and proper attitude, listen, those on the outside, they're going to want to be like us. So let's grow in our knowledge of the grace of God and reflect that to a lost and dying world. This morning, again, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you heard what it was throughout the lesson. And when we sing the song of invitation in a moment, think about that. Do you realize the need that you have for the grace of God? Do you realize that it's available to you? All you got to do is trust and obey. So if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you got an opportunity to do so. If you have, maybe you took the grace of God in vain. Maybe you turned your back on God or just got lazy with the grace of God and you went to a lifestyle you shouldn't have went to, and you're ready to be reconciled. Whatever your condition is that you need help with, if we can, we'd love to do so. Just let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.